Welcome to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. This show will first be broadcast on Wednesday, August 14th, 2024, on 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host, Ron Maniza. We're coming to you live from beautiful Mansfield Hollow, Connecticut. Comment below to let us know you're here and ask questions. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, Patreon, and Buzzsprouts. You may also watch the recorded Facebook Live and Instagram Live episode at Fran Storch ND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on the show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. All right. So, update on, why don't we talk about you first? What's going on with you?
Me?
Yeah, put your tablet down and talk.
I'm trying to get my legs back.
And yes.
And I would say that yesterday's bike ride was mildly torturous, but the hills are just really big. I can power myself fairly well on the flats when I'm not having to put a lot of pressure down the pedals, but and on the flats and on the downhills I'm fine, but going up hills is still a challenge. And today, just so you know, I taught my class this morning and about every muscle in my body was sore, tender to the touch. So I'm starting over again. I've got to rebuild this. And, you know, I said something this morning to one of the guys in class, Bob Enright, and Bob said to me, he said, you know, think about where you were 2 months ago. And he said, you get to the top of the stairs, you had to stop and catch your breath.
That's a good point.
And he made a really, really good point. And, you know, Bill reinforced it. And they're all, you know, just like watching me go through all this. But, you know, they're seeing progress that I'm sometimes unaware of.
Do you know something funny? My staff said the same thing to me last week when I was whining about having a flare. They said, you may not see it. And Carrie said she goes through this with Kevin, that Kevin says to her, and they said to me, you don't realize where you were a year ago. You are so much better.
Right.
And I don't think about that, because as soon as I have a flare, I'm like, that's it. It's over. Oh, my God.
Well, I've been subjected to that language.
Yes. And I tend to be very reactive.
Yeah. No, really?
Yes. And
is that right?
Well, reactive meaning that I'm like, I do a bunch of things. Like, I'm like, I'll tweak a supplement. I'll add another supplement. And in this case, well, anyway, I'll get into what's going on with me.
And you also comment on how the end of the world has just begun.
Yes, the end of the world, and I will never be able to ride my bike again.
Right, you'll never be able to ride your bike again or do anything you ever did before in your life.
Right.
And that's the reactive I'm thinking of.
Yeah, well, then there's all of that.
Yeah.
And it's hard to know if that's just a genuine reaction to, oh, my God, I have symptoms again. Or is that a symptom of the illness because Lyme and Bartonella mess with your brain?
Well, I don't know if it's that. I think it you know, what happens is we have expectations of ourselves from past experience.
Yeah.
And so because of past experience and past very positive experience, we want to be there again. And there's a couple of factors that get in our way. And one is we're having problems with recovering from an injury and or medical situation or whatever. And the other is that we're not getting any younger.
No, I know.
So there's always going to be the battle of the age.
The not getting any younger doesn't help because we have all these friends who are going out on 45-mile, 60-mile rides who are our age or older. And I'm watching them going, there's no reason I shouldn't be able to do that, except there is, of course.
We also have all these friends that were attending the memorial services. So, you know,
then there's
that's true. You know, you gotta look at it from a different angle sometimes.
Yeah.
And, you know, accent the positive, eliminate the negative. Don't mess around with Mr. In-Between, you know, that old ha ha ha, you know.
Sure.
But it's, you know, so sometimes you have to look at your whole situation from the outside looking in, I guess. And that's what I got this morning.
Yeah.
I got that this morning. And so that's reinforcing. It helps, you know. I was greeted by someone that was standing in line to sign up for something this morning, and she looked at me and said, "I hear you're going to be the new registrar in town." You know, so, you know, we got positive things going on in our lives. We definitely have that stuff. But, you know, athletically, I feel mildly disabled, and I know you do too.
Oh, although mine is different. So let me explain what's going on with me. So I didn't make a new show last week. So if you're listening on WHUS, you might have noticed that it was a repeat episode from earlier in the year. Because on Monday, I really wasn't feeling well. I was having a lot of a real bad flare of tremors. And yep. It was worse than it had been in months.
Right. You were shaking like a leaf.
So, So that was very upsetting. And what had happened 2 days earlier, and I don't know if this was it or it was just it was cumulative, or there's so many factors. I think one of the factors is when you have tick-borne illness, you're heat intolerant. And it could be that the heat increases inflammation, and it can also be that heat, quite frankly, kills spirochetes. Yeah. So when you have spirochete death, you have an increase in inflammatory compounds, because as the spirochetes are gradually dying off, you have an inflammatory response when your PMNs, your polymorphonuclear cells, go after them, your neutrophils, right, and stuff. And then you get increased inflammation. And I have a theory that I get tremors when I am inflamed. That is an inflammatory response. That's why I got them when I had the vaccine after 2 weeks. That's why I get them if I'm sick. And that's why I get them if I have tremors. It's a sign to me that I have a Lyme flare. So what I need to do is keep my inflammatory bucket below the threshold level. So by bucket, I mean you have levels of inflammation, levels of stuff that go in the bucket, and you have a threshold of symptomatology. And you keep your inflammatory level below that level. So the thing is, if I ride my bike, have stress, don't sleep well, and then put stuff on top of it, then I might get symptoms. So in this case, I'm always managing stress. And I try to go back on the stress by resting a lot, making sure I get enough sleep. I stay in bed for 8 to 9 hours every night. It's rare that I get less sleep than that, or at least stay in bed less than that.
Lucky you.
Well, because I used to come with you to early morning spin class up early in the morning and exercise much earlier than I do. I cannot do that anymore. If I'm going to be up, you know, until 10, 11 o'clock at night, I have to stay in bed till between 7:30 and 8 o'clock. I have to. Just can't skimp on that rest, or I'll feel sick. And so we know that rest is anti-inflammatory in a number of ways, in that when you're not moving, you're not inflaming yourself. And also, when you're sleeping well, you're making melatonin. And melatonin is a hormone that is wonderful for your immune system. Melatonin will go after, it'll directly go after spike proteins from COVID. And who knows if I still have any spike proteins on board between having had COVID and the vaccine. And it also just stimulates the immune system, so that takes care of everything else. If there's tick-borne illness on board, it's going to help take care of that. And so getting adequate sleep is really important. So I make sure to get the sleep. But last weekend, I did a few things that didn't work. And I don't know if that's what sent me into a flare. One of them was that I got back on the bike and I rode in the heat. And as we said, that heat will they'll disrupt your spirochete. If you have spirochetes on board, it'll kill them. And then it kills them slowly in such a way that you have this inflammatory response. So that's right. Number one. So I did a bike ride. By riding a bike, doing exercise at any level intensity increases inflammation. So that's number one. Number two, in the heat. So that's number two. Number three, we went to Econ Hill and I ate ice cream, real ice cream. I said, oh, I'll be okay. My belly's been doing good. I can have a few bites. And I literally had, you know, probably eighth of a cup of ice cream. And I also had a mini cinnamon sugar donut. And I had ridden my bike that morning, and that evening I rested and I, did my yin yoga like I usually do. And then the next day I lifted. It was sort of rainy out, so I got on the trainer for an hour, an easy ride on the trainer. And in the evening again, I did yin yoga. And I thought I'd be okay. And I woke up the next morning shaking terribly, you know, and I was shaking and I had the headache. And anyway, I was symptomatic. And so I got a hold of my colleague, Mariah, and I said, all right, this is enough. I need guidance. I need to not be doing this on my own. So I called Dow Vitality. I talked to Mariah, and Mariah said a couple of interesting things to me. One of them, she said, I think you should be treated by somebody. And she gave me the difference in what it would look like for her to treat me versus her associate. And if I use her associate, then I can use my insurance, which works for me. So she suggested that you really need to be seen and you need follow-ups. So that was number one. And
You need to be a good patient.
Yeah, that's what she said. Well, I mean, the thing is, she was being very kind and just, you know, giving me advice on the fly, which ultimately she really couldn't do because she's just way too busy, and it's kind of not fair to her.
Right.
Because she's really, really busy. I mean, she sees a lot of patients. The patients she sees are complex, and she is also very involved in putting together the Lyme Bites conference, and, you know, she speaks nationally online, and she's very, very involved in a lot of things. She also has a child and a husband, so then there's that. So
she has two children.
Right. Tau Vitality and her actual child.
Right.
So anyway, so I saw her. She marched in the boombox parade. So I said hello to her there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She was marching for RFK.
Oh, okay.
She's carrying a sign.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said hello to her. Then the next thing she said to me, she did give me a couple pieces of advice. I said, I keep relapsing every time I cut back on my herbs and my modified citrus pectin, I keep relapsing. She said to me, and this is what she said. She said, do not even think of cutting back on your herbs for at least a year and you have been symptom free for at least 2 months. Well, one could think about maybe absolutely doing the symptom free for 2 months, but the year, but she has
it's
a point because
daunting. Yeah.
It is daunting and mm-hmm. to take all the medicine that I've been taking. Now, I'm not doing the medicine at the doses she initially said to me because it was just too hard on my body. I mean, the modified citrus pectin, my theory about modified citrus pectin, what it does a lot of things. And one of the things it does, the big thing it does is calm galectin 3. So galectin 3 is a big inflammatory compound in your body that gets stimulated in a variety of inflammatory situations, including cardiovascular disease, cancer, and apparently tick-borne illness. So taking the modified citrus pectin is a good idea. And the other thing modified citrus pectin does is it's a binder. It will help to bind toxins and bring them out of your body. Now, there's controversy about what tick-borne illness remnants look like, because my understanding is it's not actually that your, say the antimicrobial, whether it's an herb or a supplement, is breaking down the spirochete. What's actually going on is, say you take an antibiotic, say you take doxycycline. Doxycycline will go and inefficiently and slowly start breaking down the spirochete. It doesn't kill it right away. It just immobilizes it. And then what happens is your neutrophils, your polymorphonuclear cells, they go after that spirochete that's partially killed and try to kill the rest of it. When the spirochete gets into that polymorphonuclear cell, it starts causing the PMN to make cytokines. So you get the cytokine response, and that is what is causing your Herxheimer reaction. It's not actually that there's endotoxins, because apparently there aren't actually endotoxins in the spirochete or in the Bartonella bacteria. And by the way, when you kill Bartonella, you don't really get a Herx. If you have a flare of Bartonella, you're having a flare of Bartonella. You're having an increased level of bacteria. Bartonella doesn't really cause Herxes when you break it down. If you kill the Bartonella, it's killed. So that's nice to know. But spirochetes definitely can cause Herxheimer reactions. We've known that for ages because you get Herxheimer reactions from trying to kill syphilis. And syphilis is also a spirochete. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so you have these... So that's the thing. When you're trying to kill Lyme, you're getting this inflammatory response. So if you're trying to kill Lyme, you have an inflammatory response. So anyway, when you take modified citrus pectin, it calms that inflammatory. That's the main thing it's doing, is calming the inflammatory response. Now, what Buhner says, and what everybody says, is that when you take antimicrobial herbs or antimicrobial antibiotics, you're not just killing Lyme. You're killing whatever bad guys are in there. Who knows? I mean, I probably have my share of viruses and fungi and who knows what other unfriendly bacteria. So modified citrus pectin is also a good binder for mold. If you read Terry Walls is, he's a big guy in treating multiple sclerosis. He does a natural protocol for multiple sclerosis. And he promotes modified citrus pectin. And one of the big things that it does is it pulls out, it's supposed to absorb into your body. So the thing about pectin is just a fiber. It's a fiber that's in apples and peaches and lots of different fruits. And of course it's in citrus, and it's gooey and sticky. And if you put pectin in your jam, it'll make it gelatinous. It gives it that nice jammy texture instead of being runny. So it's good like that. But pectin is a fiber. And so if you send it straight through you, it'll act as a fiber and it's detoxifying. So it'll pull things out through your digestive system. If you have too much pectin, guess what you get? Get some bloating. You'd get symptoms from it. All right. Yep. So modified citrus pectin is modified in such a way that it can be absorbed into your body. So you consume the modified citrus pectin. That's why you're supposed to consume it in a mostly empty stomach. You know, it's the rule is 2 hours after you've eaten or half an hour before. So when I take the, and I wasn't doing that, and I started, so I've started doing that. I'm taking my modified citrus pectin at least half an hour. I try to do it 2 hours away. In the morning, it's easy because I'll just wake up early and take my drink. And then because I haven't eaten all night, and then wait half an hour before ingesting anything else. You can ingest water, but that's
so mixing it in with your protein drink is probably not a good
idea. No, you're probably better off putting
it. Separate thing.
Well, it could be in a liquid. You could put it in your coffee if you wanted to, or in some coffee. Or you could put it in.
Horrible.
You could put it in water if you don't like the taste of it. You could put it in a little bit of juice.
Yeah, because citrus in a cup of coffee just sounds like a...
Right, because that... Yeah. Well, you get the... you get the unflavored.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're using mine. You're stealing mine, aren't you?
I need to use unflavored.
If you use unflavored, but the thing is, you have to have it on an empty stomach at least 2 hours after you've eaten and then half an hour before you eat again. So if you're only taking it once a day, you do it first thing in the morning.
Sure.
And if you want to do the lime flavored... Throw it in some water and you have a lime drink. Off you go.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to, if you want to put it in coffee, the thing is, you know, if you want to put it in coffee, then you want to drink it down and be done with it, though, so that you can wait half an hour and have whatever you want.
Right.
So you probably don't want to put it in your coffee because you sit and enjoy your coffee.
Right. I like
so
coffee.
Collagen you could put in your coffee, but I wouldn't put modified citrus pectin in my coffee if you want.
I don't want to put anything in my coffee. I like my coffee.
Yeah, you want to sit and enjoy. Exactly. And you don't want to adulterate it. Absolutely
not.
Right. So the thing with modified citrus pectin is you get the best chance of absorbing it if you do what I said, which is you consume it on an empty stomach at least 2 hours after eating and at least half an hour before you consume anything else, because then it's going to go, it'll be absorbed easily through your stomach, it'll be gone, and it has the best chance of getting into your bloodstream. So the thing is, when I first started taking the modified citrus pectin, I was instructed to take it 3 times a day. So I made a great big limerita with all the different herbs and 3 scoops of modified citrus pectin, and I'd drink a third throughout the day. Well, it did a serious number on my stomach. I was still able to go to the bathroom, but it slowed things down and it did a texture thing that was unpleasant. So I started backing off to figure out what the dose I could handle of modified citrus pectin that wouldn't do that to me. Mm. And I got back down to two scoops. And then eventually I came down to one scoop. I can handle one scoop, I'm okay. But if I go much more than one scoop, maybe I can do one scoop and a half or one scoop, and like a heaping scoop. And that's all I can seem to handle, because beyond that, it starts to affect my gut. Mm. My theory is if it's affecting my gut, it's going through my gut. Mm. And the point of modified citrus pectin is to absorb it. You don't want it in the gut. You actually want it in your bloodstream. So if I'm taking enough that it's getting into my gut, and if it's affecting my stool,
it's being processed.
It's not being absorbed into my bloodstream. It's going through my digestive system, which is not where I want it. I want it in my bloodstream. Mm-hmm. So the point is, you find a dose, the highest dose you can take, where it doesn't give you weird stool. And that's what I wound up doing. And then what you do beyond that is see if you can do other binders that don't mess you up too much. Right. So one of the things I'm doing is I wake up in the middle of the night. You see me wake up in the middle of the night taking pills, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So what I'm taking is chlorella. So I take, five little chlorella pills, which amounts to a gram of fermented chlorella with chlorophyll in it. And I do that in the middle of the night. And that doesn't affect my gut. I'm taking spirulina, but I'm doing the spirulina as a food. The spirulina goes in my protein shake. And that's fine with my gut. And then beyond that, if I want to have stuff in my digestive system that's going to move things through and pull things out, I'm just going to eat a lot of fiber. So that's where my oats comes in, my quinoa, my hemp seeds, and my chia seeds. And so those are heavy in fiber. And then, of course, all the produce that we eat. And I eat a lot of fiber. So I've eaten oats in the morning and different kinds of fried berries. And today I had a plum, and I made a peach, a low sugar peach blueberry, what would you call it, a crumble. So we have all kinds of fruit and all kinds of vegetables, and we're just, fiber monsters. So it's really good. I eat beans, and I eat hummus, and I eat dolmas, grape leaves would have rice in them. So I get a lot of fiber in. So I think for my gut, I want to focus on the fiber, and I only want to take as much MCP. I don't know if when I get to Tau Vitality, finally, if they're going to agree with my system, but that's what I found that I had to do. So anyway, I also made a decision that I don't want to do this alone, that I want to get care. And I'm super, super grateful to Dr. Mariah Hinchey, who is my friend and colleague, for giving me advice on the fly, which she has been wonderful in doing since the end of December. And I'm taking the protocol, the Buhner protocol, at her behest. So anyway, I'm very grateful for that. But it really seemed like I needed to have somebody to see.
Yeah.
So I felt that my choices were either I'm going to take antibiotics, or I'm going to go and see somebody at Tau Vitality and try not to take antibiotics. I would like to stay away from the antibiotics if I can, because it just does a number, because my understanding of how they work, it will lop the top off. If you have an acute tick bite and you have acute, lots of spirochetes that have just gotten into you, I think taking antibiotics is really helpful. And some people, they take their doxycycline for a couple of weeks or a month and they're good, and that's it.
Yeah.
And then there's me, who's got all these things going on that's not ideal. And the thing is, you can't, it's really not good for you to take antibiotics for months and months and months.
Right.
So I was thinking I was either going to see our friendly local Lyme literate MD, who's a great guy, Dr. Bazile, and he's helped a lot of people. And his protocol is very helpful to me. I see patients who have seen him, and they do great with him. So I was thinking I was going to go see him, or I was going to go to Tau Vitality and let them take care of me. And that way they would support me in not taking antibiotics, and they would know what to do. Because quite honestly, if I'd stick with the Buhner protocol, it works. And so I decided to call them, and, I'm not going to be able to get in. I finally made the appointment today. I'm not going to be able to get in for a while.
It's like getting in your office.
Like getting in my office.
Right.
Getting in my office is worse.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we're booking out. So So I have a bunch of appointments scheduled to have Vitellis. So I'm looking forward to that, but it's not going to be for a couple of months. Right. So I'm left with, I still have to treat myself now on my own.
So what am I going to do?
So what I did last week is after I heard from Mariah, yeah, and certainly after I started to be symptomatic again, I wasn't even taking modified citrus pectin. So I put that back in, I was only taking herbs that were supportive. So I was taking cordyceps to stimulate my immune system. I was taking milk thistle to help heal my liver and keep my liver protected. Mm-hmm. I'm taking rhodiola, which is an adaptogen and is also supportive of my immune system. And then, of course, taking the spirulina, which is also energizing and also detoxifying, but part of why I'm taking it is because it's energizing. So I was taking that, and then I was taking a bunch of Nervines, both to help calm my nervous system and to lower blood pressure. And that was what was going into my drink. So motherwort and regular skullcap, not Chinese skullcap, but regular skullcap, and linden, and cactus, which is not a nervine, it's just a cardio herb. I'm taking hawthorn solid extract. I'm taking a lot of stuff. So when I decided, you know, okay, I'm in a flare and now I have to think about whether I ride my bike or not, I'm going to put some killers back in. Mm-hmm. So we call them the killer herbs. Herbs that kill. So now I've added back in Cryptolepis. I really love Cryptolepis because Cryptolepis will kill Lyme, it will kill Bartonella, and it kills all the forms of the spirochete. So it kills the stationary form, the active form, it kills cysts, any kind of spirochete you got in you, it will go after. So Cryptolepis is my friend, and I tolerate it well. And a cat's claw. So the two biggie killers that are my favorites are Cryptolepis and cat's claw. I found that when I took Japanese, I know we're big on Japanese knotweed, because Japanese knotweed also, it's a wonderful herb, and it will kill spirochetes, it will kill Bartonella, it will kill multiple forms, and it's great for Bartonella because it's got resveratrol in it, and resveratrol is strengthening to the inside of blood vessels, and resveratrol, so it both will kill the Bartonella, it'll go after them where they live. Mm-hmm. And kill the Bartonella that likes to hang out, because it likes to hang out in your endothelium, in the lining of your blood vessels. But I found that I don't think I was tolerating the Japanese knotweed tincture well, that it was giving me headaches. And it can do that because it is a nitric oxide enhancer, so it increases circulation to your blood vessels, which you want, but it can also increase circulation to your brain. And one of the things that happens when you have chronic tick-borne illness and post-vax syndrome is you get autonomic weirdness. And so overflow of circulation to my brain will give me headaches. And even sometimes, and I'm not a migraine person, but now maybe I am. I get the occasional, I guess 3 migraines. I had 2 ocular and 1... I would call it a really bad headache the day after my second vaccine. And so it sends too much circulation to my brain. I'm finding, though, that I seem to be tolerating a resveratrol pill. That seems to be okay. I wasn't before, but I think I'm tolerating that now. And that pill that says it's resveratrol is actually mostly Japanese knotweed extract, and I seem to be tolerating
that. That's the one you give me too. Right?
Indeed, yeah. Yes, because it's very good for your blood vessels. It's strengthening to your endothelium and improves circulation. So I'm able to take that, and that's how I'm getting the Japanese knotweed in. So I'm getting Japanese knotweed, Cryptolepis, cat's claw tincture. I've added back in Sweet Annie, which is sweet wormwood, which I guess sweet wormwood is a joke because it's is sweet. No, wormwood is bitter, bitter, bitter. That's one of its properties. So it's Artemisia annua, and it's probably less bitter than Artemisia absinthum, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. Right. So I added that back in, and I added back in Hotunia. And Hotunia will kill Lyme disease. It will also kill Bartonella. I have not added back in Chinese skullcap, although I'm getting Chinese skullcap. I'm taking a collagen product that has Chinese skull, has bakelins in it, has Chinese skullcap extract in it. And the reason I stopped taking the Chinese skullcap is because one of my liver enzymes is slightly elevated. And am I drinking alcohol? The only alcohol I'm drinking these days is the tinctures. And the tinctures, I was worried that I was getting like a shot of alcohol first thing in the morning. So I took the tinctures, all the tinctures that I was taking, and I put them in a shot glass, and they covered the bottom of the shot glass. It's barely even, it's not even half a shot. It's not even a quarter of a shot. So it's not that much alcohol. So I don't think it's the alcohol. I think that something I'm taking was causing the elevated liver enzyme. And I read the Chinese skullcap can irritate your liver if you take it more than 3 months, which I certainly was. So I'm still getting some in my collagen supplement, but I'm not taking the tincture. But in the last week, since I got symptomatic, I added all those killer herbs back in. I put the modified citrus pectin in at a scoop and a little more than a scoop. And gut is happy. I did have some shakes yesterday and the day before. Today's the first day I didn't have shakes. And I decided to get out on my bike. Because I got off the bike. You know, I did ride easy out for an hour last Wednesday. But I got off the bike until today. And today I'm okay so far. The other thing I did was I started adding lithium back in. And I took 5 milligrams of lithium last night and to help to take out the shakes. And I woke up groggy this morning. So I think I'm going to take lithium again tonight, but I'm not going to take 5 milligrams. I'm going to take 1 or 2 milligrams and see if I tolerate that. It's amazing how sensitive you can be. I mean, 5 milligrams of lithium orotate is a very low dose. And you know, what I'm finding with patients is somewhere between 1 and 5 milligrams is very helpful. And so I may have to go somewhere between 1 and 5 and not quite 5. Cause one of the things that lithium orotate does is it increases GABA, gamma aminobutyric acid, which is a calming neurotransmitter. And, gamma. So when you increase, and that's one of the things that nervines do, and I'm taking a lot of nervines. So if I overdo the nervines, I had to back off on my Linden because it was making me a little groggy. But I crashed out early last night, and I'm like, I wonder if that's the lithium. So I'm going to take a little less lithium today. And I'm very happy because the shakes, I haven't had shakes yet today. I'm so excited. So the thing is, the big thing is, if my theory is correct that the tremors are a result of inflammation, what I need to do is keep my inflammation bucket below the threshold. And so dairy must cause a significant amount of, I'm assuming dairy causes a significant amount of inflammation because it was a combination of riding the bike in the heat, dairy, and gluten, and perhaps not enough rest, I don't know. So can't do dairy right now. Or if I do dairy, I could do a little bit of high quality cheese and not much. And so I can do butter. Butter does not seem to inflame me, but butter is very low in protein. And my presumption is it's the whey and or the casein that gives me inflammation. In early 2022, when I was trying to figure out what was bothering me, I decided that I was going to try doing whey protein again as my protein shake because whey really is very detoxifying. It's anti-inflammatory. It raises insulin enough so that the protein that gets your that you consume goes into your muscles. So, and it has glutamine in it, and the whey protein we were using also has probiotics and postbiotics in it. It's really good whey protein, but it made me sick. It just ripped up my gut. I mean, not literally, but it made me have a lot of gas and bloating and cramping and unpleasantness. So and whey is pure protein, so dairy protein is not for me. And we saw that with the ice cream. So that is what is going on with me, and I'm hoping that I can be back on the bike because coming up this Saturday is the Steeplechase Bicycle Tour, and so right. I'd like to go on that. Last year, I didn't go on the Steeplechase Bicycle Tour for the first time since 2004. Wow. I didn't ride at all. I was very upset because at that time I was really symptomatic. I had a I think my back was bad. My back, my knee, and my shakes were all really bad. And I was treating for Lyme disease, and I was taking antibiotics at the time, and I was just a mess. I remember that day, particularly, going to support the Bassettsbridge Road rest stop at Dave Stevens' house, and, you know, the Holy Cow Family Shelter, and then going home and lying on the bed and shaking. It was just yuck. And also, I remember Labor Day last year. I remember having a wonderful walk. I walked outside. I went to the Lebanon Green and had a nice walk. And then I went to Bluebird Hill and bought corn and apples. They had early apples. And then I came home and we went to Helen's house, to that gathering there. And I went swimming. I had a wonderful swim in Helen's pool.
We've been invited again, but it's the same day as the cross race.
Fooey.
Fooey.
So I guess we won't go. And that night I came home and started to shake, and I was all shaky the next day too. And it was just too much. But I think that I'm onto something now with it's like she said, I'm going to have to take the Buhner herbs until I have 2 months with no symptoms. And that's how I'm going to do it. And since I'm not going to not ride my bike, I have to figure out how much I can ride my bike and not let the bucket overflow. So I did a 1 hour plus ride today. That wasn't too tough. And I'll do something similar on Wednesday. And then I'll either ride, depending how I'm feeling, I'll ride the 20 or the 35 on Saturday. I really want to do it. And I'm taking a half day that day, because I usually do the day before the steeplechase. I take a half day. And so I can rest a lot and get into bed early and stuff.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what's going on with me. The other thing that I could be doing that I keep forgetting to do is drink pomegranate juice. And I went all in on pomegranate juice. I have a bunch of it in the fridge. It's just sitting there. And the reason I'm not...
As your drinks do.
Well, the reason I'm not drinking it is because I need to drink it with food in my stomach. I found that out, because it bothers my stomach if I don't have food in it. But I really should drink it. I have some at the office that I could sip on after I've had some food. And that's why. But pomegranate juice is wonderfully anti-inflammatory, and Buhner says sip on it through the day. So I'll get that on board. But I'm pretty psyched, because today I'm feeling pretty good. But, you know, one of the things that happens with chronic low-grade illness, just chronic illness in general that's not like life-threatening, is you start to feel better, so then you go start doing things and you do too much, and then you have a setback. So I have to be careful not to do that you want to front load your rest and front load your calm, and I try to do that. The other thing that I did since last week is thank you so much to Carrie, one of my staff. She loaned me a book by Amanda Armstrong that's all about healing the vagus nerve. So, you know, one of the things that post-vaccine syndrome and tick-borne illness does to you is it affects your vagus nerve. And, you know, Bartonella and Lyme disease can definitely damage your vagus nerve. So can the spike protein, whether it's from a vaccine or it's from having COVID. So dysautonomia is the theme in long vax and long COVID. That's the theme. So my vagus nerve is compromised. It's better than it was, because I don't get the orthostatic intolerance as bad as I used to. I mean, I'll have it if I'm acutely flared, but it's not like a constant thing that I'm battling all the time. And I've also figured out I have to be really, really hydrated all the time.
Hydrate.
I remember when I was a kid, I did something terrible. I figured out that if I drank less water, the scale would show a lower number. Uh-uh. So I would not drink water so that I would weigh less.
No, that's a bad idea.
It's a terrible thing to do. Don't ever do that. And thank goodness I figured out that is not a thing you do. I'm not sure at what point I'm like, no, you have to have water on you all the time, and you need to be drinking it all the time. And now I'm like, all right, if you're the least bit thirsty, take a sip. Maybe if you're not thirsty, take a sip, but have water in front of you all the time. So that's what I do now. You know, if I'm at the office, big glass of water. If I'm home, big glass of waters all the time. And now that we have the ice making machine in the kitchen, I'm always throwing ice in it, which will make me drink it more because I prefer cold drinks. Also, cold is stimulating to the vagus nerve. It helps to ultimately calm you down. I feel that when I drink cold water, I feel better. You know, whether it's just because I'm hydrating or because it's actually calming my vagus nerve down. It's making the vagus nerve react so that I'm calmer. And then it's one of those anyway, or maybe both of those. And if it makes me drink more, it's all good. So drinking and staying hydrated is really, really important. Anyway, so that's what's going on with the latest tick-borne. So anyway, as I said, Carrie loaned me this book by Amanda Armstrong, and she gave me a bunch of, it has a bunch of exercises in it to stimulate your vagus nerve. And they're really good, simple things to do. One of them is doing yin and restorative yoga. Already doing that. And one of the wonderful things about yin and restorative yoga is you get in your pose, you're still, and you sit there and you breathe. And you generally breathe in a way that they instruct you to breathe for stimulating the vagus nerve, which is your inhale is going to be shorter than your exhale. So one, you can do box breathing. And I don't do box breathing as much because box breathing is 4-4-4-4, where you inhale for 4, hold for 4, exhale for 4, hold for 4. I don't do that so much because I prefer to do breathing styles where I'm inhaling and taking longer to exhale. So I don't necessarily count. I just kind of make sure that my inhale, I'm inhaling deeply, and that I'm taking a long time to exhale, whatever it is. And I don't like to count when I'm actually doing a practice. Sometimes I will. If the teacher is counting, I let the teacher count and follow what she's doing. But I don't like to count while I'm doing it. So if I'm doing yin and the teacher's not counting, I just make sure that while I'm in a pose, that I'm inhaling deeply and then exhaling slowly and fully. And that kind of breathing, that is I will say that if you want to calm yourself down and you want to calm your vagus nerve down, you want your vagus nerve to be functioning optimally, the number one thing to do is breathing. It's that deep breathing. And the kind of breathing you do is you breathe in deeply and then exhale slowly. You can do Namavritti. Yeah, you can do now I can't remember what it's called. That when you block off one nostril and you breathe in.
No, I just breathe in through my nose
and exhale. You can do that. I mean, you can do that. And during yin yoga, we don't necessarily do that. We're breathing in through our nose unless we're doing cleansing breaths, in which case you take a deep breath in and then you do a forced exhale. But when I'm just lying in child's pose or in a yin pose, I don't necessarily have my mouth open. But anyway, that deep breathing where you breathe it, you breathe mindfully, especially where you're breathing in slowly through your mouth, breathe in slowly for at least 4 counts and then exhaling for at least 6. And you could exhale for longer than that. I mean, when I'm in Angie's class, she'll take us up to 16. You'll breathe in for 4 and you'll exhale for 16 or something like that. And that's a lot, and it's not. It's an interesting exercise. It's not necessary for you to do. If you want to get benefit from calming, you know, to get yourself calmed down, simply breathing in for 4, holding for 2, and exhaling for 6 can be really helpful. Or breathing in for 4, holding for 4, and exhaling for 8. Those are easy to remember, and you could do them anytime, anywhere. So I learned those, and those are really helpful. Other easy things to do that I learned about were stuff you can do to your ear. So you have tracts of the vagus nerve around your ear. So if you want to stimulate it, you can you can access points of the vagus nerve or near points of the vagus nerve near your ear. So here's what you do. So those of you who are looking at on Facebook Live or Instagram Live, you can see what I'm doing. So you take your index finger, put your index finger. So you have a bump behind the bottom of your ear, which is a bottom point of your occipital skull. It's called the mastoid process. So if you go ahead and go forward of that, you'll feel a little notch. and that notch is behind your ear. So then you all you have to do is take that finger and rub behind your ear all the way up and down the back of your ear pinna, you know, that the stick out part of your ear, and just massage there and take your time and rub a little bit up and down, up and down, up and down. And that's a great way to calm yourself down, and you're actually accessing the vagus nerve. So that's number one. Number two is take that same finger, put it over, cover your ear canal, and then, so cover your ear canal so when you talk, you feel like you're echoing. And then move your finger up towards the top of your head, and you'll be in a little notch. So you're not directly covering the canal, but you're in the notch just above it. And so then take your finger and make little circles. Make little circles in one direction and make little circles in the other direction. And you can spend a little bit of time doing that one direction, the other direction. You can also just move it back and forth. And that's a really great thing to do. And that's an easy thing. The next thing to do is super simple. Be careful if you're wearing earrings. Grab onto your earlobe and gently tug and just hold it for a bit. And this is a great release. This is done in craniosacral therapy as well. And you can do it just pull down on your earlobe and hold it for a little bit. And those are three very simple exercises. And then, of course, you know, the other ear is going to get jealous. The other side of your vagus nerve is going to get jealous. So make sure you massage that side too. And do everything you just did on the other side. Okay, so those are some easy things you can do. We already talked about the deep breathing. We already talked about the pulling. You can also, there's abdominal massage that you can do. Let me see, was there something else that I wanted to offer you? Because those are just so simple. Those ear exercises are really nice. There's eye exercises. And in this book, it did recommend yoga, regular yoga, and it might have mentioned yin and restorative yoga. It definitely recommended yoga nidra. And yoga nidra is the type of yoga where you're simply lying there. It's a guided meditation where the person leading it takes you through progressive relaxation of all of the parts of your body. And yoga nidra is wonderful. And there's some great yoga nidra that you can find. Taking a class is a great thing. Doing it in community is wonderful. And they periodically have yoga nidra at Yono and Willimantic and also at Samadhi in Manchester. And you can also certainly find yoga nidra practices on YouTube. So there's, and all over the internet, there's ways to find it so that you can just do it. But yoga nidra is something that you want to be led. So you want to be listening to somebody leading you through the yoga nidra. So I was very pleased to find these great vagus nerve exercises. Another thing that's really popular now is immersing yourself in cold water. If you want to calm your vagus nerve, immersing yourself in cold water is one of the ways to do. And getting into an ice bath and hanging out there for as long as you can stand it is good for your vagus nerve. I probably am not going to do that. However, if you want to experience cold and help you calm your vagus nerve that way, there's other ways to do it. One of them is to drink ice cold water. Another is to get a bowl and fill it with ice cubes and water and get a washcloth and dip the washcloth into the cold water and then make sure. Now, in hydrotherapy, as we learn in naturopathic medicine, it's never a good idea to put cold on a cold part. So if your feet are cold and you want to put cold on your feet, you don't do that. You make sure your feet are nice and warm. Make sure the part is warm before you put anything cold on it. But you take the washcloth and you dip it into the ice bath, and then you take it and you scrub yourself anywhere you want to. You can scrub your arms, you can scrub your abdomen, you can certainly scrub the back of your neck, your forehead, the top of your neck. You can hold it on the top of your neck. And then because you have this bowl with ice water in it, just keep, if you put it on your forehead, it's going to warm up. So take the washcloth, put it back in the ice bath, and put it on your head. And then, so you can do, that's a really easy way to experience cold if you're not up for, you know, jumping in the cold in Ladder Park in January, which I watch people do. Exactly. If you're not up for that, you can do it in a controlled way where you just simply have a bowl full of ice and ice water and a washcloth and just friction yourself off. And make sure you're warm in the places that you're going to put the cold on. And so that can be very refreshing. Just think about what it feels like to splash yourself with cold water. That's really helpful. And so that's a way to do it. Those are some great ways to keep your autonomic nervous system functioning. All right. So, what did I want to think about? Yeah, so we're getting towards the end of the summer. We're getting towards the end of the summer, and I feel like I've been missing the summer because I've been dealing with symptoms all this time. But we're in peak produce right now. The produce is insane. We have so much stuff in our refrigerator that I wound up making a peach blueberry crumble. And I saw somebody on Facebook that's saying, all you folks out there who like to make peach muffins and peach brownies and peach cobbler and peach pudding and all your peachy things, haven't you ever just thought about grabbing a peach and leaning over the sink like a savage and just biting into the thing and letting it drip all over yourself? And quite honestly, the guy had a point. Because I think eating a fresh peach is the best way to eat the fresh peach.
Right.
Mind you, I do love peach iced tea. And I have flavored peach iced tea, and I have peach flavoring, and it's not as good as real peaches. But there's a commercial brand of peach iced tea that really gets it right. And I think the thing to do is, because there's too much sugar in it, is to cut it with unflavored iced tea in half and half, and so there's less sugar in it, and they get the peach flavoring right. But I have to figure out how to like squeeze peach juice into my iced tea so it tastes like good peach iced tea. But this is a great way to get pectin and fiber, and peaches have boron in them. Boron is great for inflammation. Boron is wonderful for helping to build bone density. It's a good thing if you're perimenopausal. It'll help with menopause symptoms. So peaches are helpful for that. And then the blueberries, we're still getting blueberries, aren't we?
There are wild blueberries out now. I saw those the other day.
I think the cultivated blueberries are on their way out, unfortunately.
They're getting close, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, so they're almost done. We still got, I think the peach season is extended. I think what happened is for fruit this year, we had a very good year for fruit because we had the right amount of rain. We didn't have too much, and we had the right balance of rain and sun. So the fruit is just awesome. And when we go into our yard, we have ground that's been affected by all the pine trees. So it's acidic. So we had a bunch of raspberries. Have you checked the blackberries lately? Or are they done?
Yeah, they're still there.
So we've got some blackberries back there, and we have a lot of grapes. The grapes haven't ripened yet, but we're going to have a lot of Concord grapes, just wild Concord grapes. That's going to be really exciting. I'm going to eat them. You don't have to, but I'm going to eat them. And I'll also eat the Tom Cords when they come in, and they are being sold at the store. So, yeah. So anyway, so that's going on there. And Ron is going to make gazpacho. And the nice thing about gazpacho is that you're eating a lot of tomato all at once. As long as you're not sensitive to tomatoes, having a lot of tomato all at once, they're really in season. They have a lot of vitamin C. They're really high in carotenoids. The big carotenoid that they're high in is lycopene. So you're going to get a lot of lycopene. And I will say that tomatoes, I like to get a tomato from the farmer's market, cut it, put a little salt on it, and just eat it. And I got two like nice heirloom tomatoes from my friend around the corner who grows tomatoes. And I took it with me, and I was going to munch on it while I was sitting in bed. And then I sat on it and I made a mess. And so I didn't completely destroy it. So I took it up. I took it up front, and then it wound up going into my salad. It didn't get to be eaten the way I intended, but that's okay. And the thing with tomatoes is they taste better if you don't put them in the fridge. But there's a sweet spot, because if you leave them out too long, then they go bad. And we have bumper crops of tomatoes. It's just amazing. And then there's the corn. And corn is controversial because the idea is that corn, it's hard to get corn completely non-GMO because even if the person growing it is using organic seeds, there's pollination. But this time of year, we eat corn on the cob. Ron is not biting it off the cob because he has a tooth situation.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so that's unfortunate.
It's all right. It'll get better soon.
I know. So we all have a tooth situation. Mm. Yeah, and I'm going to go and get some teeth done, too. And there's one thing I wanted to point out that I think I'll talk about this next week, and that's the difference between hydroxyapatite and fluoroapatite. I'm pretty excited about that. Anyway, so what we're going to talk about we'll get into next week. We'll start talking about weight loss. I've been wanting to talk about those popular weight loss drugs, GLP-1 inhibitors. And we were watching an episode from a few months ago of Bill Maher, and Jillian Michaels came on, and she was talking about how frustrated she is about the GLP-1 enhancing drugs that so many people are taking. And it's kind of like, apparently, the GLP-1 enhancing drugs is kind of like taking the bisphosphonates for osteoporosis. You get 5 years, and then you're more likely with the bisphosphonates. After 5 years, you're likely to you get more fractures. They don't protect you from fractures. They give you a little bit of bone density, but you're more likely to get fractures. And what Jillian Michaels was saying is you get about, what did she say, 72 months or some? So 72 months is 6 years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you get 5 or 6 years with the GLP-1 enhancers, and then they stop working. You plateau.
Yep.
And if you want to keep the weight off, you have to keep taking them. So anyway, we'll talk a little bit more about that next week.
And then we talk about liver damage and all the other fun things going on with it. Yeah.
It was a lot of...
That's the problem. It seems like as you look at pharmaceutical medicine, almost all of them go back to liver damage.
Well, yeah, because they're detoxified through the liver.
Right.
And that when you have a breakdown of these compounds, you have metabolites that actually have do oxidative damage to your liver and cause inflammation. There's all kinds of ways that they can damage the liver, but that's the big thing. They cause oxidative damage. So anyway, we'll talk about all that next week because we're out of time.
Yep.
You have been listening to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host, Ron Meniza. You can email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, Patreon, and Buzzsprout. You can also watch the recorded Facebook Live and Instagram Live episode at Fran Storch, ND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on the show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS stores, and WHUS.org.